Goody goo goo. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Labrador. As always, I continue to acknowledge the fact that I am recording on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 26, 2025. Today's episode is also and continues to be rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's kind of a sign that, you know, this podcast may not be for you. You know what I mean? It's like, I was listening to this, this TikTok video where she's putting, and this content creator, she was putting a lot of emphasis about like, hey, if bad words offend you, you might not want to listen to this clip. So this is kind of what I'm saying, you know, by saying like, if your feelings got hurt when you heard fuck Whitey, then I mean, you know, it's you were warned. Heads up. All right. Heads up. If you laughed, it's sorry. All right. Okay. Distracted. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Another thing I'd like to start with, it's a very important to me, is acknowledge what I refer to as the heartbeat of this conversation or this thing of ours. And that's all you listeners. So do me a favor. Get up, look in the mirror, or whatever, man. Take a break. If you're with those type who like to beat on yourself or hate on yourself, take a break from hating on yourself and applaud. Pretend you believe. You believe that you're beautiful, and just do me a favor and applaud yourself. Let's go. Hope you were standing up when you did that. And if you happen to be a new listener, I say welcome. And my hope, the word is hope, the key word is hope. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying my hope is that I say something that resonates and leads us to, you know, maybe, and I'm being daring here, make history. So, yeah, welcome. I think I'm feeling good or something. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I think I'm feeling good. This is, sorry. Here I am trying to tell you to applaud yourself, and I'm like, yeah, man, I feel like shit. Okay, whatever. Reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. And, yeah, if you don't know, now you know. Okay. In today's episode, titled 244, The Red, the Black, and the Green. I think that's going to be the title. Let's go with tentative title is The Red, the Black, and the Green. If not, 3 days before, 3 days before the end of February 2025. I like the first one better. All right. In today's episode, with 3 days left in February, I read aloud a personal essay I drafted and dedicated to Black America, Black Americans. Right? It's a new thing I'm doing for the first time. Episode, mark your calendars, this is history, because for the first time, I'm going to do something scripted. But before we get to that, we're going to do our usual quotes and randomness, all right? So let's start with some quotes. Let me share a few quotes to get the brain cells flowing. But it goes like this. First one goes... The ability to speak several languages is an asset, but the ability to keep your mouth shut is priceless. I'm going to read that because I fucked that up. The ability to speak several languages is an asset, but the ability to keep your mouth shut is priceless. Sorry, the reason I'm confused, I'm tripping my words because I'm tempted to say the ability to speak in several languages is an asset, but the ability to shut the fuck up is priceless. Yeah, if I sound aggressive when I talk about shutting up, it's because you'd be amazed. It's like some folks, as soon as they learned to talk, that's all they kept doing. parents don't teach kids how to listen. My parents did. Yo, I'm not talking about you. Consider yourself an exception. All right, next quote. Oh, this one I like. From Motivational Thoughts. By the way, I don't know the author of that last quote, but okay. This one. Let people judge you. The title is Let People Judge You. Let them misunderstand you. Let them gossip about you. What they think of you isn't your problem. Their opinions do not pay your bills. So you stay kind, committed to love, and no matter what they do or say, never doubt your worth or the beauty in your worth. You keep on shining and let the haters hate. What I like about this quote in particular is the fact that there was a time where the line, let them misunderstand, let people judge you, let them misunderstand. Basically, it would have been one of those, easier said than done. But I'm getting better at it. I'm better getting to let it, like, you know, fuck them. When I die, I am not going to give a fuck about those people. Anyway, all right. Last quote, and it's by Carter G. Woodson. You know who Carter G. Woodson is? Huh? You better. Carter G. Woodson is the guy who came up with Black History Month, or the guy credited for Black History Month. That's right, white people. That's who you got to bitch about when February comes up. Not only is it cold, he's the reason why you got to hear that black shit for 28 or 29 days. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Ooh. Sorry, a little cramp here. Okay, let's go. Quote goes, there were several quotes he had, but I picked one really quick, and I went with this one. It goes, those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history. Carter G. Woodson. Man knew what the fuck he was talking about. By the way, this deserves a...
You must learn.
Yeah. All right. You know, one of the quotes by Carter G. Woodson, I feel like KRS-One, when he wrote the song You Must Learn, like one of the verse, I felt like was inspired by a thought by Carter G. Woodson, specifically the part like, one doesn't know about the other one's culture, ignorance swoops down like a vulture. Is the next slide? Because you don't know that you ain't just a janitor. No one told you about Benjamin Banneker, a brilliant black man who invented the almanac. Can't you see what being black is coming at? Sorry.
You must learn.
All right, okay. Where was I? I was digging eyes. Let's see. Okay, that's it for quotes. Let's do a bit of randomness. All right, for randomness, I'm keeping it short. Because I really want to read this scripted. You know, whatever. I'm excited. I'm nervous on how it's gonna go. because I read. Okay, no, I was gonna diss myself. I don't know. Read it out loud makes me nervous. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see. It should be fun. But okay, let's get through this randomness. First one. Let's get a word from our sponsors. Let's start with a word from our sponsor. Here we go.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say?
Fuck off.
That's it.
All right, there you heard it, sister. You know, I'm not going to go into details. Everything that needed to be said was said. All right. Okay. Another item. Oh yeah, I went in for a physical today. Just personal. I guess this is banter. Went in for a physical today. Because for those of you who know, I recently turned 50. And also, I got a letter in the mail about how, I'm not sure, from the Ontario, I guess I should read it, but I'm not going to go into detail. But it wasn't French. But the word that I need to look up was like pretty much talking about colonoscopy. I'm like, wait, what? Anyway, my point here, where I'm going with this, apparently, it's this new system. I'm going to get something in the mail. And then I'm not sure. I guess I should read the details. Maybe I should read it in English, but I don't know. But it kind of sounds like they want me to poop in a bag or something and mail it back. I don't know. But the point is they're going to analyze it. It's disgusting, eh? Like, fuck y'all, man. I'm 50, man. And plus, remember, it's my goddamn podcast. Whatever, man. They're going to analyze stool samples to see that if I need to have, like, I guess a colonoscopy. That's the way that I saw. You know, this is one of those times it'd be great to have a partner who listens, who pays attention to the details, to these details. I don't know, man. I guess I should Google it, but I'm scared I'm going to go. But anyway, it kind of sounds like they're going to take a sample and from there determine whether I need to go to the next level. And that test is good for 10 years ago. But anyway, all I know is, as a black man, it's in my interest to get this shit out of the way. No pun intended. Let's move on, because this joke is it only goes downhill after that. All right, okay. okay, so this is an excerpt from a podcast called the Downside Podcast with Gianmarco Sorcy, aka, look, first language is French, all right? I tend to fuck up English people's name. But look, man, I suck at communication. I struggle with communication. Anyways, why can't you have a simple Christian name? Anyway, all right. Gianmarco? He's a comedian. He's a well-known comedian, all right? My apologies to you fans going, y'all, man, we're going to fuck you up for fucking up his name. Anyways, and he had Yamanika Saunders. That was racist. I fuck up the white guy's name, but not the black woman. Yamanika. Look, when I read, it's like I learned from Sesame Street. I still do the balls. All right, okay. Okay. So it's something, it's an excerpt from his podcast, and there's something profound that Yamanika said about doing comedy as a black person in front of a black audience and a black audience. And I just thought it was like gold. Okay. But, how about I stop talking and let her explain it to you?
Black audiences are very specific about what they want to hear. They ain't got time for the bullshit. That's because we're living in a society that keeps us oppressed.
Yeah.
So you better get to the motherfucking laughs, and you better get to them quick, because I paid money that I may or may not have
for
this entertainment. Yeah. You got to make me forget all the shit. White people sort of come in and they got time to leisure and, okay, you know, they'll look at you and, okay, well, maybe he's not our cup of tea and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it's all very polite. Like, black people are like, all right, next. It takes too much to make white people laugh. First of all, I gotta be non-threatening, which already gonna be difficult, because I don't give a fuck about you, right?
Yeah.
So I want the respect of the black comics. Can I go to a black room and crush?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's where the shit is, because there's so many black comics that have not gotten their just desserts, because they're not non-threatening or whatever they, you know, once white people decide they want a certain type of, they only want one at a time. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of them got to be relegated to the back. And I decided to say, fuck the system. I will not just talk about whatever the fuck they want me to talk about. It will be harsh. Probably they don't like it. You know what I mean? White people walk out during my set. I love it. Because Paul Mooney had motherfucking white people walking out of their set.
Word up.
I don't think enough crackers walk out of my shit.
Sure.
Walk out, underlay bitch, quickly, and let's replace you with another white bitch that gets it. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's no shortage of white bitches that like to come in here and sit down. Or maybe you free up a space for a black woman to have a seat.
Amen. Okay, I want to be clear. Okay, because I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking about, I knew a comic who told me that they didn't, a comic, he was hilariously funny, black comic, he was funny and everything. He told me, yeah, I didn't do well in black rooms. And I respect that. I can, you know, it's, speaking for him, I guess this is me, if I was speaking to a younger comic, I would say, don't feel stressed. Like, find your voice and work with it. Now, I'm going to speak for myself. I want to be clear and, the words B Black are about to say is for myself in finding my voice. When I started doing comedy, doing white rooms was not a problem for me. It was because I grew up with white people, right? But I did have in the core of my soul, I did know that I said, if I get to a point where I do jokes and the only people laughing are white people, especially because with my content, excuse me. yeah, I did talk to my doctor about this fucking phlegm in my voice and my throat. And she was like, no, I can't do nothing for you, man. I questioned her skills. And whatever, man. What do you mean I'm all right? Okay, where was I? If I told myself if the only people laughing are white people, then fuck it, I give up on comedy. Because they're laughing at me, not with me. Anyways, now I'm thinking of the, how many times, I guess I'm going to say that I remember bombing in front of a black audience or noticed that the front row was a lot of black people. Felt like it was a deep shame on my part. Look, bombing is natural, but I take it even personally when it's a front of a black audience. sorry, I'm thinking of this one time I did this show. I make this joke all the time. I bombed so badly that I read the book by Hillary Clinton, What Happened. And anyway, but what the beautiful, because, you know, the silver lining is, fuck. I was new, by the way. I should start, I was new. But the part that was beautiful is this one black woman who went out of her way. It's like she felt my pain and just laughed. Whatever, man. She felt, I don't know. I get a feeling she found it funny, but she also wanted me. I felt like she was like, go on. Like she was like family. So keep going. These people are whack. Don't worry, man. So anyways, I will, I never got her name, but I will always remember her laughing with me. Anyways, but the one time I did do, one of my proudest moments in my life was doing the Nubian show in Toronto. And, fuck, I was scared, and it went well. Sorry, I'm laughing, but it went well. Oh, man. I think it was probably, I listed as, I'm going to tell myself, I'm done. Fuck that, man. It doesn't get any better than this. And whatever, man. It was a beautiful moment for me. But I kind of want to be able to do more black rooms. Especially with the kind of jokes that I make. Just that feeling of people who get it. People who, like, it feels less like I'm surrounded by people who are like, ha, 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 Negro, tell me more about your suffering. Ha, 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 we enjoy it. Oh, my God. Can we have you hanging from a tree? That just entertains us. We love that shit. The more you suffer, the more we enjoy it. Anyway, whatever. I just love what she just said and how, because she's from a different world, you know, what she said about how, yeah, man, fucking, I got to put extra work. Because if I'm on stage in front of white people, I got to convince them that I'm here to make you laugh, not scare you. I'm here to make you laugh, not make you want to vote for Trump. Kill me. All right, okay, let's go. What next do I have? Okay, this last clip, it's a TikTok clip I'm going to play. I'll give you the content creator's name at the end. But I felt was a great transition for my featured thought, the personal essay I'm going to read. But the lady talks about the title or the label. The title I chose to use for this one is called, Is This the End of Americanization?
So I think TikTok is currently exposing something really important, and we're actually not talking about it. America is no longer the main character when it comes to global culture. Now, this was a bit of a mouthful, so let me explain what I mean. For decades, the US has dominated global culture. I'm talking about Hollywood, pop music, social media. Even the way we think about success and individualism has been driven by the US and their culture. But now, a shift is happening. At least I feel it. And I think the global talk trend on TikTok is actually proving it. People are now consuming more and more content from creators outside the US. Mm. People are embracing different languages, different types of humor, different perspectives. And it's not just a trend. I actually think it's the start of something much, much bigger. I think for the first time in my lifetime, we are seeing a global rejection of Americanization. Mm. And it's not just about entertainment. It's about values. Mm. American culture has long pushed extreme individualism, like the idea that success is completely personal, that you have to hustle everything and you have to make it on your own. But many of the cultures that are currently rising from Europe, from Canada, from Asia, from Latin America, aren't built that way. These cultures value community, they value balance, and they also value shared success. And let's be honest, they also value social safety nets, universal health care, paid parental leave, affordable education, all things that Americans are still arguing over and still disagreeing about. I actually think that we're entering the end of the American dream, that the idea that anyone can rise from nothing if they just work hard is going to become obsolete. Because in most places, success isn't about working hard. It's about the system in which you live. And let's talk politics for a moment. With the US becoming more and more polarized and isolated, I think this could be the moment where the rest of the world just moves on and we stop looking at America as the blueprint for culture. So what do you think? Is this just a temporary trend, or are we seeing a real shift in the world where we move away from American influence? And if that's the case, what comes next? What culture, what values, what perspectives will take center stage? Let me know what you think in the comments. I really want to know. And on that note, have a great day.
The reason why this message is significant for me is because I was also just coincidentally, I remember just reflecting with all the bullshit going on in the States, and I was just so frustrated, and it hit me. I'm like, yo, I swear, if it wasn't for Black Americans, I would not give a fuck. United States would matter to me like Kazakhstan, Russia, whatever, man. I mean, how many white people? I think Kazakhstan is a white people country. And I'd be indifferent about it. I wouldn't hate it, love it. I would just be like, oh yeah, they're at war, whatever, you know, whatever the fuck. I wouldn't have like this emotional involvement or care. I know. So my point in playing this video is not whether she's right or wrong. I mean, even though I like this idea of Hollywood no longer being, okay, this is how the world, being the way I see the world, like actually, yeah, no longer see the world through their eyes. If you look there through my eyes. Anyway, yeah, it's, I like that idea. More the, them being less influential on how we see the world. And I think, I'm starting to think maybe that's Trump's vision. He wants to be more like Russia. He wants to be one of those countries that, yeah, white folks are the forefront, and fuck the minorities. I don't know. I don't know much about Russia. I just know the drink, Black Russian, and White Russian. And I don't mean that as a... fuck it. It is what it is. I mean, look, shitload of white people, and something tells me a good chunk of them, not a big fan of me. Whatever, man. That part of the world, I got my own problems to worry about. Anyway, like I said, Southern culture, the Southern, the food, yeah, they do have some dishes, but I'd be eating pizza. I think I'm going to go back to what I'm saying is, I'd be close to indifferent about the country, and its people. But one other point that she made about how TikTok is showing us content from other world, I really love it. More to the point, especially for me as a Canadian, a bilingual Canadian, I love how the algorithm figured it out. It's showing me more French content from actually Black French creators. I mean, French creators, but look, I'm a fan of cultures. Borderline, okay. Well, I'm a fan of cultures, but if I have a features, I'd be, you know, Black American culture. Even to my surprise, not surprise, but you know, I have a love hate, a complex relationship with French Canadian culture, but I'm a fan of that culture too. There was a time where I was into, you know, Latin culture, but only because I was trying to bang the Latin chick, but that's another story. You know what I mean? That's it was shallow. It was more shallow than anything else. Anyways, okay. Again, links are in the show notes. All right, gang, we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we get back, I will share with you the personal essay I drafted for this episode. All right, peace. Red, the black, and the green. Oh, I'm back. I am back. In case it wasn't obvious. All right. The Prick Steeler. I'm a little excited, gang. I'm a little both excited and a little nervous, but it's been a while. All right. Okay, let me start by saying that... let me give you a long intro. When I first started podcasting, you know, when you podcast, you have an option. You can do freestyle like I usually do, or you can have it scripted. And the thing with scripted is, you know, you're writing in the head, you get all your ideas in order, and you can do, like, polish it and all that beautiful stuff. And I remember looking at it, and I'm like, yo, scripted sounds like a good idea, but come on, who the fuck am I kidding? Me, right? And so lately, I've been having topics. That's what's been scaring me. I've been having topics that I felt like freestyling wasn't going to cut it. Because I hate finding a deep topic, especially that I have like strong feelings for or complicated thoughts for, and freestyling and then going, fuck, forgot to say this. Fuck, forgot to talk about that. Or worse, damn, I wishing I hadn't said that. Bit of both. So it's a big deal for me that I got myself to this particular topic to put it down on paper. And I gotta admit to you guys, like, and I know some of you will be disappointed, I used AI technology to do it. And while using AI, I learned a few things. Like, AI ain't fucking perfect. motherfucker makes mistakes. Dumb. It's not a human being, that's for sure. Two, I'm realizing, part of that, realizing that is because I've been using it to proofread my shit. And I'm like, and it hit me. I'm reading it and I'm going, man, fucking human being would be. But my point is, I've been getting feedback for AI and I'm realizing that I need to get feedback from a human being on this one, because my intention is to right now it's in draft mode. I'm calling what I'm about to read is in draft mode, but it's a good first start. Like, my ideas are finally on paper. But I think I want to proofread it before I finalize it and make it into a blog post or a think piece or a personal essay before I post it online. So what you're listening to, I'm going to call it a draft. Two, what I liked about AI, it made me realize that maybe I do have the skill set to be a writer. My dad has it. In French, that was dope, but my dad has. He's got the skill set. But he writes, like, church newsletters. But he writes in a way that you as a reader are like, oh, man, it just flows in. It's like, anyways. But for me, what I'm realizing, my experience with working with AI, I had fun. I want to be clear. And two, it made me realize that the reason why writing has been a challenge for me is, one, I'm wondering is because the journey felt like I was, I dived in into my emotions, into my thoughts without any gear, scuba gear. And the reason why writing for me is a challenge because I feel like I'm trying to, like, especially if it's a complicated idea, trying to get all the ideas and I gotta, like, swim back to the top and say, okay, here's a shell. And then I swim back at the bottom. This is how it felt like. Like, I gotta swim back. I gotta swim to the bottom, grab an idea, and bring it back to the surface. When I bring it back to the surface, that means I put something down on paper. But it does happen a lot that I'm like, fuck, I didn't get enough information. I didn't dive deep enough. Sometimes I'll write shit, I'll be like, nah, it's not perfectly saying what I want to say. So the beauty with AI, and I'm realizing that, I mean, it's not that clever, but I see the pattern. What it does is, so what I did is, I put in point form what I wanted to say. By putting it in point form, and specifically knowing that I was going to feed it into AI, it made it easier. I was less stressed about getting it right the first time. So it's just, so ideas, boom, 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 boom. And then I'm like, I think, yeah, this is pretty much it. Then you give it to AI, and it pretty much says, okay, like if I were to say black is beautiful, this motherfucker will probably come back with beautiful is black. But it will come back and says, based on that sentence, here's an example of what you think I mean you're trying to say. And I think it, for, and like for statistics, it's a very likely this is what you're trying to say. And then you'll read it. You'll think like, oh my God, you're a genius. But the truth is it just, if you're going to use that idea, here's an example of how to express that thought. So that's what AI does. One lesson learned that I got from it is when you read back what you, when you read back, I guess this is, applies to me more than anything. When you read back what you read, what was written down, it's very important that you're in touch with yourself, like you're a movie director, and you can, and you have an honest thought, and like if you read something and it doesn't feel right, then fuck it, rewrite it, redo it. Because again, this motherfucker is just spitting out example, there's no soul to it, it's just like, I think you mean this. And yeah, and I guess it's very tempting to like, ignore the fact that this kind of sounds what I'm trying to say, but I'll keep it. But because it sounds so sophisticated, I'm gonna stick to it. But I am saying that I did have a lot of fun writing this shit. This is why I found the audacity to finally say that maybe, I'm not saying I am, but I said maybe writing might be my thing. Mainly because I had fun writing this shit. I had fun putting my thoughts and ideas. I mean, there was a bit of frustration a few times. I'm like, nah, motherfucker, that's not what I meant. And whatever. But it was fun having something to bounce ideas off, put it on paper. Is this what you mean? You know what? It felt like going to a store and the sales clerk, a clothing store, sales clerk looks you up and down and said, come with me. Come with me. Let's go in this rack. What's your side? I love that. What's your side? They do all the work. Boom, 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 boom. Shh, 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 shh. Because I hate buying clothes, man. It's just overwhelming. I love having someone, an assistant who knows what the fuck that they're doing, preferably who knows what the fuck they're doing. That's how it felt like. Like talking to a sales clerk who's like, fatso, you size 11, ain't you? So that's my shoes. Whatever. But I had fun. That's really what I, bottom line to what I'm saying is I had fun writing this, and I'm feeling this might not be a last time. I plan on doing this again. Now, if this was cool, I could understand if teachers are like, I mean, I know, you know what? I think you should go through the exercise of writing shit out yourself. But it just, for me, it's a painful journey to write shit down. And I feel like Iron Man fighting Thanos. All that for a drop of blood? Yeah, holy shit, whatever. Second, part of my intention in writing this piece is also to clarify what I mean when I start or end the show with the line, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. What I'm about to read will clarify that example. Will clarify what I mean by that. So, protected by the red, the black, and the green is a line that X-Clan, Professor X from X-Clan used to say at the end or during their song, and it was just some of the coolest shit, profound shit that I've ever heard. But red, black, and green represents the colors of the Black American flag. You'll hear it referred to as the black flag or black people flag. But it's the Black American flag, you know. There's people in France, black people in France, black people in the UK, maybe not Canada, but black people in Brazil, black people who are like, beautiful flag, but it doesn't represent me. I got my own flag. But yeah, no, shout out Black Americans. They, you know, they have their own flag. They have their own national anthem. And it's, the colors are red, black, and green. And the red stands for the, you know, I know, shout out to hip hop, the golden era of hip hop. I know this, but the red's for the blood and the black's for the man. The green is the color that stands for the land, that represents the land, or whatever, that stands for the land. But I think when X-Clan, the way I read it, my interpretation is when they say this is protected by the red, the black, the green, they're being literal in the sense that They say it's protected by the blood, the people, and the land. I love that notion. So when I say it, when I use it, it's a double entendre. And remember, I want to remind you, it's my goddamn podcast. You know, I'm about to say it may not make sense to you, but it makes sense to me. But I mean it more in the sense of its influence. My thoughts were heavily influenced by Black Americans, the culture, the identity, anyways, you'll get more context as I read what I'm trying to say. So why the fuck would Black Americans have an influence on you? Welcome in Canada. Anyways, you'll understand after I finish reading this personal essay. Damn, I'm getting excited. Holy shit, this is a new time. Okay, all right. Last but not least, not read the goddamn thing. Read the damn thing. All right, okay. Let me, I guess my last pieces I want to say is another influence of what I wrote came from, Common has a song called Black Americans, and he did a video for it with Ava DuVernay. Well, I guess Ava DuVernay produced the video, but I just felt so beautiful and so apropos. Another influence too. You know what? Let me read it and then we'll get to it at the end. I will interrupt it a few bit to insert some thoughts, but whatever. Okay. I'm excited. Okay. All right, let's go. Let me close this. Let me clear this, that. What's the name of the guy who made Black History Month? Carter G. Wilson. All right, yeah, that's your homework. If you didn't learn shit this Black History Month, you better know Curtis G. Wilson. Okay, boom. Let me put this in, let me try to put this in, I'm trying to put this browser into viewing mode. Oh, okay, exit. Okay, how do I set this motherfucker in? Rest for the blood and okay. No one comes to this podcast to hear me sing, but if you do, I would like to hear from you. Now, second thought, I'm like, yeah, no, something must be wrong with you. Try to get in my pants, lady? Yeah, nice try. All right, okay. I have it in view mode. Beautiful. Okay, now I'm going to. Oh, it is at Zoom at 200. Okay, and now full screen, motherfucker. View. Oh, this thing won't let me full screen? Word? Oh, it's gonna be like that, eh? Okay, all right. I'm talking to myself. I realize that. I do that a lot. Okay, this will work. Okay, let's do this. I got big letters because I'm an old person. All right, let's do this. Title is, okay, Black Americans. I think I'm going to call it Red, Black, or Black. Again, draft. This is draft version. So let's go. This is my love letter to Black Americans. A tribute to the culture and people who taught me to love my Black self in a world that doesn't want me to. As a Black child born in Canada, immersed in whiteness, feeling like I didn't belong, I grew up believing Blackness was a curse. From an early age, I had a deep need for identity. My formative years were shaped by white teachers and so-called Christian mentors who had no business being around Black children. They didn't nurture me, they damaged me. They imposed their narrow, toxic worldview, reinforcing the idea that anything outside of whiteness was inferior. I internalized their messages, believing that my Blackness was something to be ashamed of. But when I was around 11 years old, Black American culture gave me something to hold on to, something that shaped me. When I was 11 years old, I discovered the tape Raising Hell by Run DMC. At that age, I didn't have the words to talk about or even understand systematic racism. Something that has been woven into Canada's history and that it tries to mask behind multiculturalism and polite racism. All I knew was that I needed an escape, and that Run DMC tape was that escape, the red pill that opened my eyes to the world around me, much like Neo discovering the truth about the Matrix. Nearly four decades later, at 50, I'm still searching for the right words to express my gratitude to an entire people and culture. I credit the golden era of hip-hop for giving birth to my blackness and my nickname, Be Black. Shout out to Tupac, Native Tongues, Public Enemy, Sister Soulja, Boogie Down Production, X-Clan, and many more who shaped this era. Honorable mentions to Dead Prez and Kendrick Lamar, who may not be from that era, but carry its legacy forward. I'm thinking of putting carry on tradition. Also, a special distinctive mention to the Fugees, but that's a different story. That's a different think piece. I started with music. I remember hearing rap for the first time and feeling an instant connection. The rhythm, the lyrics, the unapologetic expression of blackness. It spoke to me in ways nothing else had. That also led me to spoken word, where I discovered the power of words to capture struggle, pride, and resilience. From Run DMC to Talam AC, their words and rhythm gave me a voice when I didn't even know I had one. Then came the slang, the language, that felt like home, that gave me a way to express myself with pride. It was also more than just words. It was a cultural bond, a way to feel connected to something bigger than myself. Fun fact, I used to think that New York slang was the Black American slang. But West Coast and Dirty South hip hop and 2 years in the Bay Area showed me just how dead wrong I was. In those moments, I developed a more discerning eye, realizing that Black American identity wasn't monolithic, goddamn English language. The simplistic portrayals I had absorbed from white media barely scratched the surface. Blackness wasn't just one thing. It was vast, layered, and deeply regional, shaped by history, geography, and lived experience. Like Tupac expressed in his tribute to Marvin Gaye, Marvin Gaye used to sing to me, he had me feeling like black was the thing to be. That same gratitude is at the heart of this message. Black is beautiful, words that I live by. Thank you for helping me learn that truth. Your confidence, your style, your celebration, and who you are made me recognize the beauty in myself. When I was a child, I spoke, understood, and thought as a child. I wanted to be you. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things and realized that your culture wasn't mine to adopt, but rather to inspire me to be my true self. The words, and When You're Out of Town, Represent Your Ground by Prodigy from Mobb Deep reinforced that idea, reminding me to stand firm on my own identity and represent my own grounds, Ottawa, Canada, and Haiti. From Spike Lee to Ava DuVernay and many others, thank you for all the movies that showed people who looked like me. Seeing black faces on screen telling your stories mattered more than I realized at the time. My gratitude isn't limited to those two filmmakers. It extends to every black director, writer, and actor who has brought their narrative to life, shaping the way I see myself and the world. By the way, this message is also inspired by Ava DuVernay's Black America's produced video with Common. Thank you for the comedy, the joy, the wit, the humor that helped me laugh through life struggles and our shared pain. That same comedy first pushed me onto the stage and keeps pulling me back. Shout out to Def Comedy Jam, Richard Pryor, Paul Mooney, Eddie Murphy, Robin Harris, Patrice O'Neill, Dave Chappelle, and Chris Rock. Comedians who not only made me laugh, but shaped my voice and continue to influence me. Thank you for your resilience and proving time and time again to me that, like Tupac said, you can't keep a black man down. I've learned so much about your strength through history, but more importantly, through the Eyes on the Prize series, which gave me deeper, unfiltered look at the struggles and triumph of Black America. Your strength and resilience taught me to stand tall, even when the world tries to break me. Thank you for Alex Haley, Bell Hooks, Michael Harriet, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and every other Black American writer who put their stories on the page and gave us words to see the world through. Thank you, City of Oakland, for embracing me like no other. I visited many American cities with Black communities, but none welcomed me like Oakland. Then again, I spent most of my time there. Maybe that's why its embrace felt the strongest. If it weren't for Black Americans, I'd probably be as indifferent to the United States as I am to a country like Russia or any other white nation not known for having Black people in it. But because of you, I care. Because of you, I have a connection that goes beyond borders. And for the first time, I wanted to put these thoughts into words, fully intentionally and without interruption. Because of this, because this isn't just a reflection, it's my love letter, my thank you, and I hope it's received in the spirit it was given. All right, man, I gotta scratch my own ego looking at the time. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. All right, I wish I timed how long it took me to read that. But, yo, this felt profound, man. I, again, felt excited reading this. I remember when I finished writing it, it felt like I did that deep dive. I collected all the shells of ideas from the bottom seafloor of my thoughts and my heart and brought it back into the surface. Again, this is an episode. This is an idea I've been meaning to do, but I kept procrastinating on doing. So yeah, for now I guess it's a work in progress. If you like what you heard, I don't know, if you have thoughts, feedback, I would love to hear from them. You know what I mean? Preferably from Black Americans. I mean, from Black people. yeah, man. I think I really wanted to, the part that I said, okay, I'm going to end this. I'm going to wrap this up. Okay. But the part that I said when the time that I spent in Oakland, how I first started out, like a Canadian citizen, a foreigner to that. But you're Black, but yes, but I acknowledge the fact that to them, I'm still considered a foreigner, and not in a bad way, but look, the time I spent in the Bay Area made me realize that, oh, shit, I'm not like them. I'm not like them. And I think it first, the two significant moments, the first one was when I would meet Black people and would say, where you're from? And they'd be like, Richmond, Maine. I'm like, wait a minute. Richmond? 2 hours away? 1 hour away from here? 45 minutes away? San Francisco. Oakland, you know, like these peoples were there for generations. It blew my mind. Again, my parents immigrated to Canada. So I guess it's complicated. I don't know intergenerational, like I'm the first generation in this country. There's black Canadians who've been there upon generation. Look, in Ottawa, when you see another black person and you ask them where you're from, you're like, come on, man. There's no white people around us. Jamaica, Congo, boom, 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 boom. You know, where are you from, nigga? You know what I mean? It's like, you from this continent? You from the islands? Which joke can I not make around you? You Jamaican, you Haitian, you know, where are your parents from? Where are your parents from? Where are your grandmama from? That's what we mean when we try to find out where you're from. And you're expecting to hear like, yes, my parents immigrated here during the 70s. I remember the first time I met a black Canadian and an actual black Canadian. I'm talking several generations in this country from Montreal. And I'm like, where are you from? Canada. Okay, look, come on. There's no white people around us. So where are your parents from? Canada. Where your grandparents from? Canada. And then it hit me. I'm like, oh my God. You one of them black Canadians I read about in the fucking the books and shit like that. And whatever, yeah. But yeah, that was first time I'm realizing that, okay, you're actually from this country. The country probably didn't, like, you fucked around with your citizenship, but you are actually, you part of the people who built this motherfucker. And two is my favorite one when I really realized that, okay, the distinction between me and them is when, you know, it's so funny, having people make fun of my accent, which I didn't know I had. As far as I'm concerned, I spoke French. I was just speaking English. But to them, hey, nah, you got an accent. What do you mean? I perfected my English to make sure I don't sound like someone who has an accent. Nah. And it's funny how weird I must have sounded to them because my English accent is a composition of English as a second language combined with all the shit that I learned from hip hop and black movies and all the people that I mentioned in this text. But yeah, and I remember, yeah, thinking like, oh my God, where I was going with this. Yes, I remember spending, okay, because I had that discerning eyes, when people say, yo, this is where I'm from Brooklyn, I'm from Queens, I'm from, LA, when they talk, like, there's a pride, it's like, it's, I don't know if I should use the word tribal, but it means something to them. Kind of the same way, if you say, yo, I'm Haitian. Don't fuck around with that, man. You know, I'm a die for the red and blue. I'm Jamaican. Yeah, you. Oh my God, I once made the mistake again. English is my second language, and you know, to me, there was us Haitians, and then everyone else who didn't speak French. Anyway, long story short, I made the mistake of thinking that Trinidad, what's that? Jamaica, bang. Anyways, yeah, he don't fuck around with that identity. But all this to say, I knew Drake fucked up when he did that. When he did that AI representation of Tupac, I knew that shit was not a good idea. I mean, you know, I mean, mainly because it wasn't going to be treated as a joke. It was going to take like, oh, this motherfucker is standing on the flag. Oh my God, this motherfucking foreigner is not showing respect. If I was part of the Drake team, I'd be like, yo, if you wanna, you know, if you still wanna fight, keep fighting, but you need to understand that there's no coming back for that Tupac shit. I won't compare it to, no, I was gonna say Nagasaki, but yeah, it's a disrespect that ain't gonna be no truth and reconciliation for that shit. Yeah, man. Anyway. Okay, I can have a longer conversation, but I'm going to wrap this up. Also, I'm not sure how long I've been speaking for. But yeah, anyways. Yo, again, this is like a big deal for me, man. This is, this is a big deal for me. So let me give myself a... Yay! My scripted episode. All right, let me get out of... Why is the escape button not working? Okay, let me get out of view mode and get back to my script here. All right, this concludes today's episode. I will remind you to, before I sign off, okay, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. But if you go to the website, okay, not on the website, but if you go on the website and there's a link to go to Cast Us, that's where you'll find the show notes. Maybe I should explain that on the website. Anyways, you will find the show notes, but more importantly, in the other links section, I have three extra checks. So you have regular other links, and I have a Black Canadian history because, again, procrastinating, 3 days left in February, so Shut Up Podcast got to make its contribution. And the last part, I call it the soundtrack. And these are music that I, or artists, or whatever, that were referenced throughout through my personal essay, Jungle Brothers, Mobb Deep, whatever. Maybe I should add some more. But whatever, man. Check out the soundtrack. Music to listen to. Add to your playlist. All right. Again, before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Couge bleu, motherfucker. If it wasn't obvious, red, black is Ottawa, red, blue is Haiti. It bothers me that I have to explain it. But whatever, man. As they say,
you must learn.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who said yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.